in the final scene of the movie Shawshank Redemption. Red, the character that's played by Morgan Freeman, is taking one last journey to meet his friend Andy in Mexico. As he traveled on the bus toward the destination, these were his thoughts. I find I'm so excited I can barely sit still or hold a thought in my head. I think it's the excitement only a free man can feel. A free man at the start of a long journey whose conclusion is uncertain. I hope I can make it across the border. I hope to see my friend and shake his hand. I hope the Pacific is as blue as it has been in my dreams. I hope. What do you hope for in life? Where have you placed your hope? This morning we're going to journey back to Ephesians 4 and continue to break down Paul's words that he writes to the church in Ephesus. There is one body, we've talked about that. One spirit, that was our lesson last week. Just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The message from Paul that we need to hear this morning is that we have hope. Paul is letting us know that we have a chance. Because of Jesus Christ, we have hope. And sometimes through life, we struggle to see it. Sometimes it's hard to look at our individual situations and see hope. Sometimes all we see is trouble and anxiety. But Paul wants us to know that because of Jesus Christ, we have hope. I know it's challenging sometimes to look at our world and see any hope. Sometimes all we see is turmoil and tension. The discovery of our age and the discovery of any age is that chaos is the normal order of things. Because of Satan and what he was able to do back in the garden, chaos is found throughout the world. It always has been since that moment. So how can we find hope in the midst of chaos? In these days that are so chaotic, in these days that seem to be filled with tension and turmoil, how can we look through all of those things and actually find hope? God wants us to know that we have hope. Our Father in heaven, who knows us, who created us, wants us to live life as hopeful people. Notice Paul's words again. One body, one spirit, one hope. Hope is not absent from what Paul is sending to this church at Ephesus, and it's not absent from our lives today. No matter what struggle you're facing this morning, you have hope. And I know there's a lot of struggles that fill this auditorium. But no matter what struggle you're facing, you have hope. No matter how overwhelmed you may feel as parents, no matter how overwhelmed you may feel in your jobs, no matter how overwhelmed you may feel with life, you have hope. No matter how anxious you may be right now, some of us here this morning may just be flowing over with anxiety, just consumed with worry. No matter how much anxiety you have this morning, you have hope. Where do we find this hope? Well, let me show you. We're going to travel back to Matthew 17 here initially. And we're going to look at some words that should bring us hope. But we have to be looking in the right place to find it. In Matthew 17, we take a journey with Jesus. A journey that some of his apostles took with him. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. And his garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." At least Peter realized that. "If you wish, I will make 3 tabernacles here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Why does God want Peter, James, and John to listen exclusively to Jesus. Why in this amazing moment does God bring special attention to His only begotten Son? Why is Jesus elevated up above Moses and Elijah? Why in the book of Hebrews, as you read chapter by chapter, is Jesus presented to us as greater than the angels, greater than the prophets, greater than Moses? Why does God constantly direct us to His Son? There are some things you can only find in Jesus. There are some things in life that only Jesus can provide for us. Jesus delivers stuff to us. He delivers things to us. He brings blessings to us that Moses and Elijah cannot provide, that no other human being can provide. Jesus alone brings salvation. He is the source of our salvation. He is the one on the cross in our place. And because of that, because of Jesus, we have hope. But it's only found in Christ. In the 1980s, there was a country song titled "Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places." I hated that song. I'd hear it over and over again when I was on the tractor. The radio was just stuck on one station, and my dad had broken off the knob, so my brother and I couldn't change it. So it was either that or nothing. "Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places" by Johnny Lee. I hate that song. But that describes many people's experience with hope. I think a lot of people in life are looking for hope in all the wrong places. We look for hope in the lives of other people. We look for hope in our jobs, in our money. We look for hope in our hobbies. Some people try to find hope in drugs, in sex, in power. None of this is our hope. If that's where we're looking to find hope, we're looking for hope in all the wrong places. Jesus alone can bring us hope. In the New Testament, throughout the Bible, God essentially has big flashing arrows that are just flashing in front of our eyes, pointing us to Jesus. The way those men are out there on the tarmac directing the airplanes in, pointing the light so they know where to land, that's our Father waving us towards Christ, flashing the light straight to Jesus. "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Listen to Him, flashing light, pointing us to Christ. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Flashing light, pointing us straight to Jesus. If we tune our ears into what Jesus is saying, we can find hope. No matter what we're going through in life, no matter what anxiety we have, what struggle we're facing, if we'll listen to Jesus, we will hear words of hope. If we turn our eyes to Christ, if we fix our eyes on Him, and take our eyes off of everything that's going on in the world, we'll find hope. I think every time we watch the nightly news at 5:30, we better be pretty quick to pick up our Bibles and read about Jesus. Because if all we're hearing is what's going on in this world, we're going to lose our hope. We need to listen to Jesus. We need to fix our eyes on Him. Here are some questions for you to ponder this morning. How has age affected your understanding of hope? As you've gotten older in life, do you have a different perspective on hope? How have your life circumstances affected your hope? How do we grow in hope? I'm convinced we need a different perspective on things when it comes to hope. There was a fall Saturday back in 1982. Now we're going to go back several years, back to the 80s, back to 1982, when the University of Wisconsin, the Badgers, they were playing a home football game against Michigan State, one of their rivals. Wisconsin was getting blown out by the Spartans. During the game, the Wisconsin fans would cheer at strange, inappropriate times. Wisconsin would do something bad, and the Wisconsin fans would cheer. Michigan State would have success, and the Wisconsin fans would cheer. What in the world was going on? It was bizarre. It would be like OU fans cheering when Texas scored a touchdown. It's unheard of. This was happening because the fans in the stands were also listening to the radio call of the Milwaukee Brewers playing against the St. Louis Cardinals in the World Series. And so the Brewers would do something good, and the Wisconsin fans would cheer. Those fans were at the game, but their minds were somewhere else. That describes how we need to be. We're in this world. We know we live here. But our mind, it needs to be somewhere else. Our focus needs to be elsewhere. We live in this world, but our minds are focused on another. We don't look to this world to find hope. We don't look to people. We don't look to jobs. We don't look to money. We're looking up above. We're looking to heaven, to another world, to find hope. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, that's what Paul's trying to get these Christians to do. He's reminding them, your citizenship is not here. Now, it's great to be an American citizen, but it's even better to be a citizen of heaven. For our citizenship is in heaven. That's what matters most, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It always comes back to Jesus, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory, by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. Even when it comes to the trials and struggles we face in this life, we have hope because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, we eagerly wait for Him. We look for Him, knowing there's some things only Jesus can provide. Only Jesus can bring about the transformation that Paul describes here in Philippians 3. Only Jesus can transform this body into His glory. When I look across this auditorium this morning, I see hope. Every time I hear of a young person resisting temptation, I see hope. When I think of our young people who are in high schools and middle schools, knowing they're being bombarded by Satan, being bombarded with temptations, and they keep fighting, that's a picture of hope. When I look at our university students and I see them here on a Sunday morning for Bible class, I see them here in worship, I see hope. When I look across at all of the young families, all of the children, all of the babies that we have, and I see families doing their best to bring up their children to know God from the time they're born, I see hope. When I look at our senior Christians who are holding on to their faith all the way to the finish line, I see hope. And Jesus makes all of this possible. When you read through the Bible, you learn that God wants His people to be hopeful. Hope is found in over 142 verses in Scripture. Psalm 31, verse 24, "Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord." Romans 5, 3 through 5, "And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint." Proverbs 10:28, "The hope of the righteous is gladness, but the expectation of the wicked perishes." Romans 15:13, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." 2 Corinthians 3:12, "Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech." Hebrews 6:11, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence, so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end." Verse after verse, message after message, God telling us, you have hope. And as you look in the Bible, it's amazing what God connects hope to. Hope is connected to so many other wonderful things in Scripture. Hope is connected to mercy in Psalm 33. Hope is connected to our salvation in 1 Thessalonians 5. Hope is connected to our inheritance in heaven in Ephesians 1. Hope is connected directly to heaven in Colossians 1. Hope is connected to grace in 1 Peter 1. Hope is connected to patience in Psalm 130, to praise in Psalm 71, to glory in Romans 5. Hope is compared to God's Son in Titus 2, and to our effort to become like Jesus in 1 John 3. Hope is connected to all of those great themes in Scripture. But I also want you to know this morning. This is the part you have to hear. Hope is also connected to the suffering of life. It's here that we struggle the most. It's in this arena that we're going to enter that we really find it difficult at times to see any hope. Hope is connected to salvation. It's connected to our inheritance. It's connected to heaven, to God's Son, to glory, to patience. But it's also connected to the trials, to the sufferings of life. Everything that you're anxious about this morning is connected to that. Every struggle that you're going through right now in life is connected to that. You got to hear what Paul writes here in Romans 8. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, that's where we are a lot of times. We look at all of these sufferings that are around us, all of these anxiety-producing events, all of the turmoil, all of the tension, all of the bad news, the sufferings of this present time. We could just keep going on and on, all of the things that we're going through, the illnesses, the death. All of that combined, even if we took every suffering that all of us are going through, and if we combined all of that, it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption, into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers. That's us. That includes us. All of creation groans. All of creation suffers. All of creation is involved in this present suffering. We go through the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. 6 times the idea of hope is found in these verses. The theme is found in verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. We might compare the first part of this verse to a foggy morning. The sufferings of this present time, it may seem like this dense, thick fog that's just encompassing our lives. When Shannon and I first moved to Manford, Oklahoma, I taught school at Sand Springs. To get to Sand Springs from Manford, I would drive across the Keystone Bridge. The Keystone Bridge went across Keystone Lake and the Arkansas River. There would be some mornings the fog would be so thick right there around the river and the lake that I would literally roll down my window and stick my head out the window like a dog trying to see. Now, Jalen's about to take her driving test, and Shannon was asking her a question this morning The question was, if it is so foggy that you can't see, what are you supposed to do? Put your lights on bright, put your lights on low beam, or safely pull over to a safe spot on the side of the road? That was actually the right answer. Safely pull over. So Jalen, if one of the answers on the test is stick your head out the window like a dog and try to see, don't put that. That's not the right answer. But when you're driving on a bridge, there's nowhere to pull over. And so I have my head sticking out this window like a dog, trying to see what's in front of me because the fog was so thick. I couldn't see anything else but the fog. That's how the sufferings we go through seem at times. Become so intense, so thick, we can't see anything else. We can't even see the hand right in front of our face. All we see is the suffering. As thick and intense as that fog would be in the mornings, it always lifted. It didn't stay around forever. At some point during the day, no matter how intense that fog was, later in the day it was gone. The sufferings of this present time may seem like a fog that's never going to lift. We may look at our situations and all we see are dark clouds hovering around us. The fog won't be here forever. These present sufferings are not going to be here forever. And when we compare them to what we have waiting for us, they're not even worthy to be compared with that glory. This is our hope. This is what we long for. It's what we hope for. We have an earnest expectation of something better. We are looking for something better beyond this life. The phrase earnest expectation, it actually means to stretch out the neck. It's what families do when they're at the airport, waiting for their son or daughter to return from Iraq. And you're waiting there in the airport and you know the plane has landed. And you're looking around the corner, you're stretching your neck out as far as you can, trying to get that first glimpse of your son or daughter who's made it back home safely from Iraq. That's what it means. That's what it's like. You have an earnest expectation to see them. And so you stretch out your neck as far as you can, trying to see them as quickly as you can. It's what husbands and wives do. It's what little kids do when their spouses or their mommy or daddy is coming home from war. And they're looking to see them for that first time. They stretch out their neck, eagerly anticipating, hoping to see their loved one again. They have hope. They have an earnest expectation of their loved one's arrival. And so they stretch out their neck as far as they can to get that glimpse. Exactly what Paul wrote about in Philippians 3. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is our earnest expectation of something better. He is our hope. And so we stretch out our necks to see Jesus. We stretch out our necks to see beyond the suffering, to see beyond the anxiety, to see beyond the illnesses, to see beyond the loneliness, to see beyond the hurt and the disappointment and the pain that we go through in life. We stretch out our neck past that, longing to see Jesus. We're like a mom and a dad at an airport, a husband and a wife at an airport. Desperately trying to catch that first glimpse of their loved one coming home from war. Have you ever looked up into the clouds and thought to yourself, one day Jesus is going to be riding one of these, and he's coming back to bring me home? Have you ever looked up to the clouds, stretched out your neck to the clouds, looking for Jesus? Eagerly anticipating him to come down at any moment. Have you ever done that? Have you ever looked up to the heavens looking for hope? Red's final journey in Shawshank Redemption, it was a journey of hope. I hope I can make it across the border. I hope to see my friend and shake his hand. I hope the Pacific is as blue as it has been in my dreams. I hope. Have you ever had similar thoughts about heaven? Have you ever thought to yourself, I hope I can make it across the border. I hope I get to go and be with God. Have you ever thought to yourself, I hope to see my Savior and shake his hand? Have you ever thought to yourself, I hope heaven is as beautiful as it has been in my dreams? I hope. Put your hope in Jesus, and all of that will be reality. Our one hope is Jesus Christ. If we can help you in any way this morning, we invite you to come as we stand and sing together.